What in life makes a person shine? We all have so many different things in life that we're striving for. And the question is how can we shine? If we look at the Torah tells us about someone who shone to everybody in such a way that you almost couldn't look at him, or you really couldn't look at him. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he was shining. And the question is what made Moshe Rabbeinu shine? And at the end of Parshas Kisisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu shines, it goes straight into Parshas Vayakel. Parshas Vayakel is where we do the Mishkan. The Mishkan, we build the place which is doimet to the Brias HaOlam. Okay, so the question is, what's going on in the Mishkan? And it seems to be this connection from Parshas Kisisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu shines, to Parshas Vayakel. So the question is one, what's the connection between Parshas Vayakel and Parsh Kisisa? And two is, what made Moshe Rabbeinu shine? That seems to be the clincher of the whole Parsh Kisisa, this unbelievable Maisa, where Klal Yisrael went through probably the most torrential act in history as a nation. And still, we go from there to Mishkan, to Moshe Rabbeinu shining. So the end and the encapsulating point of that Parsha is Moshe Rabbeinu shine. What is that shine? And how can we take it to our lives? And then what's the connection to Parshas Vayakel right afterwards? You go on, when you're heading into Parshas Vayakel, you find some very interesting things. Moshe Rabbeinu brings everyone together. And then after Moshe Rabbeinu brings everyone together, he talks about Shmirah Shabbos. And then a specific law, a specific prohibition of Loisvar Esh, fire, B'chol Moshvaseichem, in all your camps on Shabbos. So, what's the whole entire order here that he's going and he's telling us, gather together? He's talking about the Mishkan Pashtas. And then he says, Shabbos, keep Shabbos. And then he moves on to the law of Loisivar Esh specifically. What's the idea? What's the reality that we're trying to live that we specifically single out Loisivar Esh, B'chol Moshvaseichem? Yes, we have different Gemaras that take technicalities and prohibitions, Lav Yatza, L'chalek. And those are technical halachic points, which we need the pasuk for. But no matter how you explain why we need this pasuk from that aspect, there's still a question left over, is why specifically loisiv our esh? Out of all the malachas we could have chosen, we could have chosen harisha, where you make holes in the ground, you could have told them tviya, kshira, many different malachas, taifer. Why do we choose specifically loisiv our esh as the malacha, which we point out, is that's what you shouldn't do on Shabbos to learn all the other halachic dinim out of. And if you go on and you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us, when did Moshe Rabbeinu do this? When he came down from Har Sinai, which was the day after Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, now we're building the Mishkan, and now we're warning you about Shmir Shabbos and Leisavar Esh. Why did he have to specifically go right after Yom Kippur, the day after? You know, they just fasted, Pashtos, they went through a very torrential time. Give everyone a break, a breather, relax. You know, in Israel, that's like the classic thing. You're having a hard time with something, relax, relax. I was one time, driving, and it's more than one time, and I'm in the road, two people are stopped, one going this way and one going that way, talking to each other, and I couldn't pass by. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with this event, and I looked at the driver after when he's passing me, like what? After, I don't mean after like the second I got there. I meant like you have to wait because they're in a conversation in the road, right? Like obviously you have to wait for them. And I think I said something to him. He goes, relax, relax, relax. Wait, calm down. Savlanut, patience, my friend. Wait, what's going on? Right after Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, the whole event, Lucha Shnias. Now everyone get up and build the Mishkan. What's the rush? Relax. Take a deep breath. Very, very interesting that Moshe is running right after, and they have to go. Zrizus to this. Take a breath. Let everyone catch themselves. Another point here, which is very puzzling, is the connection in general we see between the Asiyas HaMishkan and Shabbos. Yes, we do have halachic technicalities that we learn out of it. We learn that you can't do the malachas that were done in the Mishkan on Shabbos, and the binias on Mishkan is not daich Shabbos. The question is what's the fundamental connection we find in last week's parsha and in this week's parsha to the Mishkan and Shabbos, that they're always grouped together. Talking about the Mishkan, talking about Shabbos. So we see the Torah fundamentally is connecting these two ideas. What's the connection between them? If you look in the halacha here, part of the halacha of Lo Yisivar Eish that Chazal tell us, again from a technical perspective, but it's really teaching us a lot, is that Dayanim, that you can't do malacha. The Chinuch brings it in Mitzvah Kuf Yodalit, Ve'aka Moshe Yeshba Mitzvah Lo Yisei Achas, is that you can't do Dayanim. And you can't do Sreifa and any other Mises Bezdin. You want to kill somebody? You got to wait till after Shabbos. Okay? That's interesting halachic reality. Tells us the Chinuch that this is the mitzvah that we're going to learn out of here. So what's the idea that you can't kill somebody on Shabbos? I think there is a fundamental principle here which we bring out. And there's an amazing story that we find with Rav Shach and the Baba Sali. There was once a Bachar in Panovich, and the Bachar in Panovich was an amazing Bachar. He knew everything. When he was learning a sugya, he knew every single point of it, inside and out. But there was a problem. He was a goldfish. What does that mean, he was a goldfish? It meant the next day, Kimat, he would wake up, and he would forget everything he learned. When he was in the sugi, he got his engines roaring. Every single solitary point was on point. And the next day, when he went to sleep, it was gone. Like a goldfish, blip, like that. So what do you do when you're experiencing supernatural events in your life that seem to not make any sense? You go to the Baba Sali, a supernatural person. The Baba Sali told him, you have no hope. And the boy was jarred. He said, why? Well, what's going on? He said, when you were a young child, you ate dvarim tameim. You ate not kosher items. And that's affecting you right now in your learning. The boy said, Rabbeinu, I never ever ate not kosher things. He said, you ate not kosher items, and therefore you're not going to remember your learning. The boy was puzzled. He went home to his parents, and he told his mother what the Baba Sali said. And the Baba Sali's words rung in her ears, and she broke down crying. She said, when you were a young baby, we needed to give you certain not kosher items due to medical issues. And she was doing the right thing. She never thought it would have such a ramification. And the boy went to Rav Shach, where he was learning in Panovich, and he said, what should I do? What can I do? What can I do to fix this? Shach said, you know how we're accepting a lot of different boys that came in from the country, from different places, Svardi boys, who are much weaker in the learning. And they're having a very hard time getting chavrusa and shtagging properly. So Shach said, I want you to learn with these boys 3 starim a day. The boy was appalled. He said, how could I learn with them? I'm up here and they're down here. Rav Shach looked at him. He said, you want to fix your issue? The boy said, my issue? The Baba Sali told me I can't fix my issue. Rav Shach said, what you're saying is when you're on the regular track. When you're on the regular track, then this is in fact an issue. However, if you go on the chesed track, if you go on the I am not here for myself, I am here for others, then you get uplifted. You go on a different path. And the boy listened to Rav Shach. And he learned with boys much, much weaker than him. For the whole entire day, a masmid otzum, someone who didn't stop learning. And he went on this other track. And b'derech nes, with miracles, his memory came back to him. He started remembering more and more. The more he put into others, the more he saw of himself. This week's Parsha, the Klei Akar says, Vayakel. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Why was he rushing? Moshe Rabbeinu was coming and saying, we just had Yom Kippur. We're on a height. We're all together. We're in the only chanaya. We're in the only time when Klal Yisrael didn't have any machlokes. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged har, Chazal tell us, in all other encampments, they had machlokes. In this one, they did not have machlokes. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged har, they're b'shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the holiest time, getting the luchos. And he says, we have to grab on to this opportunity of achdus and of fire. Grab on now. You're going to forget it. First unbelievable lesson. Do not let opportunities pass you by. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Klal Yisrael. They're holding by the highest level. The Dor HaDeah, they just got the Torah again. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid they're going to lose their inspiration. Never, ever, ever let an opportunity go by. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this week's parsha, the end of Shemais, teaching this lesson. Lesson number two. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayakel, come together be'achdus. The way the Shekhinah rests in this world is ba'achdus. We need to get together. We're building the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the first physical place that we have of the Ashrash Shekhinah, teaching us that the Shekhinah can have a concentration in this world due to your actions. How do we get there, says Moshe? How do we get there? Is it time? No, what? You just do nice things, nice actions. No, you come together ba'achdus. This binyan is only really a metaphorical binyan for your togetherness, for your jointness. The Zohar says every single binyan, lemata, is really representative of a binyan, of a building, lemala. Lemala, yeah, up top, up in higher worlds. So, says Moshe Rabbeinu, explain to the Kli Yakar, you have to get together, you have to have achdus. Then we go into Shabbos. What Shabbos? Shabbos is Shabbos Shalom. It says a husband and wife should be together on Shabbos. Create peace and unity and togetherness between them. Shabbos is where Klal Yisrael has an achdus. You see it practically. In all communities, there's a more gathering in Shul. There's Kiddushim. People are eating in their homes Friday night together. And that's what Shabbos is called. Shabbos is Shalom. The name of Kadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. We have to have peace, togetherness, unity. So says Moshe Rabbeinu Yaakov, Shabbos. Loi sevar eish b'chol mosh v'seichem. Explains the Sefer Ikrim. Explains the Shla. That the idea of Loi sevar eish is to stop machlaikes. Don't have machlaikes. Don't have lashon hara. Don't have horrible things. Don't have separation. Have unity. Have togetherness. Have power. Have strength. Be a joint unit. If you have a bunch of separated items, those items are weak. When you are together, you are strong. Have the idea of Shabbos. Do not burn a fire. Do not have machlekes. Do not have anger. Do not have separation. This is what the Torah is telling us. Have complete unity. When you have unity, then the Shekhinah rests among you. The Meshech Chachma says in Parshas B'Shalach, why, by the Chet HaEgel, were we forgiven? And by the Meraglim, we were not forgiven. The whole entire generation died. By the Chet HaEgel, we reached the highest heights after. We got the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. Something to this day, which is clear in the Svarim HaKadoshim, Derech Hashem, we trigger Hashem's Midah of going above judgment. Hashem goes into the Olam Pur Rachamim. Achdus, oneness. That was after the Chet HaEgel. Why? After the Chet HaEgel, we had a unity. We had a togetherness. We were one joint entity. And when we're one joint entity, says the Meshech Chachma, we get forgiven. And we get the greatest heights of forgiveness. However, when we are machlokes, when we are not together, when we are separated, the Meraglim, it was b'machlokes, then we cannot achieve what we need to achieve. Then we do not get forgiven. He based this off the Yerushalmi that says that an ear, a city, an establishment of Tamir Chachamim, that Rebbe Machlaikis, is worse off, is in detriment, will go down. However, a city of Balei Avodah Zarah, people doing idol worship, they, as long as they are in Bishalom, can last through. The Meshech Chachma, there goes many, many proofs to this. The Bais Rishon was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, because of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Horrible Averus. The second one was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash, was because Sinas Chinam. That means they were learning Torah. They were doing everything good. Ma'asim tovim. But they didn't have shalom. They didn't have unity. They didn't have peace amongst them. And then the Shekhinah cannot be there, and the Beis HaMikdash is not destroyed. It just melts away because it doesn't have the building blocks. The Mishkan was eternal. It was built by all of Klal Yisrael together. The Svarno points us out that the Mishkan, its materials were not destroyed. But the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because there was an extra unity that we had in the building of the Mishkan. That unity is so critical. That brings all the brachas. Why do we not allowed to create a din on Shabbos? To kill someone on Shabbos? Even the Rishonim explains the chinuch. Because we need everyone together. Shabbos is the time we're connecting, for bringing with Hashem, with the Melech. We have to have ultimate peace, even with our sinners, because they are still a part of Klal Yisrael. Hashem turns off the fires of Gehenim on Shabbos, as Chazal tell us. Because on Shabbos, it's the ultimate shalom, it's ultimate unity, it's the ultimate union. And then no one can be separated. Even those burning in the Gehenim, Rachmana Litzlan, they have to be with us on Shabbos. There is no separation in Klal Yisrael ultimately. There are just points where we unfortunately separate to a certain extent. But the ultimate reality of the Jewish people is a oneness. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to build the Mishkan, he creates a oneness. Vayakel, Shabbos, lo yisivar eish b'chol moshaseichem. How was Moshe Rabbeinu zoicha? How did he merit? How did he reach the height where he had a shining face, where he shined in the world in the most literal extent? Moshe Rabbeinu reached this, explained the Zohar, HaChadosh, brought by the Bear Moshe, because he defended Klal Yisrael. He was there to stand for them, and he relinquished himself. Macheni nami sifracha. Hashem, you can wipe me away. I do not stand if Klal Yisrael does not stand. This is a lesson, not by words, but by action. He said, Hashem, I am with Klal Yisrael. If they are gone, I am gone. Wipe me away from your Torah. We need to have Klal Yisrael around. Moshe Rabbeinu is showing the ultimate lesson. Words are cheap. Actions are strong. Moshe Rabbeinu took action. He said, I am willing to mevatel myself, to nullify myself, to relinquish myself, to step aside, go down for another Jew. When Moshe Rabbeinu did that to Zohar Chadash, after he got the Luchos Shnius, which was nowhere near the Luchos Rishonus. Luchos Rishonus were Ma'aseh Elokim. Luchos Shnius were Ma'aseh Bnei Adam. How did he achieve a higher level of Luchos Shnius? Because when he got to Luchos Shnius, he created a level of bittul, of self-nullification, of relinquishing himself for someone else on a level that no one had ever seen. And that's what creates the greatest light. You want light in your life? You want to be bigger? You want brachas? Look at another yid and say, what can I do for him? The more that we are there for others, the more we will shine in our lives. The more we will be strong. And the more we will be able to affect the world. We often feel that if I do something for someone else, for Yenim, if I give up of my own, I will lose out. I will fall on hard times. It will be difficult for me. And we see this is not true. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu reach the highest heights? When he completely relinquished himself for Klal Yisrael. And from that we go into the Mishkan. Vayakel. Come together. Build the Mishkan. Keep Shabbos. Don't have machlaikas. Learn from me. You will achieve your ultimate greatness when you get up and help someone else. When you are there together as a unit. When you view yourself not as an I, but a we. Not as an individual, but a unit. Not as an ani, but a Klal Yisrael. That's what we are called. Klal Yisrael. We are individuals, but we're part of a system that's all one, that's all connected. The Shvatim were all one unit. This is the lesson we have to learn. This is what the Torah is telling us. Be together. You want Hashem in your life? You want bracha in your life? You want greatness in your life? You want light in your life? Look and say, how much can I be there for another person? And you will not lose out. So if we think about this practically, what can we do? Think of someone who you know who's in a little bit of challenge. Think of someone who you know that can use a pick-me-up. Whether it's technical, something they need, whether it's emotional, work for someone else. This is always a lesson in Yiddishkeit, that you will not lose out. Where's the biggest place we think we'll lose out in the world? If we give away our money, then you have less money. Where does the Torah tell us that you have a havtacha, you have a promise, you have an assurance from God on your loss, that it will be gained back more? That's when you give tzedakah. According to Rav Rishonim, Rav Mefarshim, that when you give Maiser Ani, when you give Maiser Ksofim, you give your money, you give your hard-earned cash, that's when you're going to gain the most. You're Ms. Asher when you're a Maser. Asher b'shvil tesis Asher. Give Maiser so you can become rich. What's the secret to becoming rich? Everyone wants to know, how do I become rich? How do I make it big? Torah tells us, the way you become rich is when you help someone else. This is not just an isolated halacha. That is a rule in Yiddishkeit. In the places where you think you are giving up, you are really gaining the most. This is the lesson we have to learn. When you give for someone else, you will gain the most. When you are ma'aser for someone else, you will gain the most. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that when you look at your time, just like in Maiser Ksofim, in our finances, in our tefuah, in our hard-earned work, we have to give to someone else. So too in your time, when you look at helping people, you have to give up 10%. You have to give up 20%. How many of us look at that in our lives? We're so busy, we have so many responsibilities, there's so much going on, and you always have to learn how to allocate your time. How much of us think, I'm giving up 10% for someone else. I'm giving up 20% for someone else. Just like we say it by money, I'm going to take liberty and say it. I've heard this from many Marabayim, that when you give to someone else, it's the same thing. You will not lose out because you're helping Hashem's children. When you give to someone else, you're helping Hashem's children. So look at someone in your life and say, oh, how can I help him? It's going to come at a cost to me. It's going to be hard for me. I'm going to lose out from this thing, from that thing, that thing. But you will only gain when you give to someone else. The ultimate secret to wealth in every sense in your life is when you give to another yid, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your emotional energy, in your time. That's how we gain. That's how we grow. That's how we shine. This is the lesson that the Torah is teaching us. Let's take it and have an amazing day.